Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Pete Bursich plays well, doesn't he?
Pete Bursich.
I can't believe what I just saw, Paul. What an unbelievable play. Are you kidding me?
Minnesota Viking for seven seasons.
Pete Bursich making the tackle, and the handoff is to Terry Allen, and he gets pushed back, and a fine play by Pete Bursich.
You look around the National Football League, there's not a lot of depth. Minnesota has as much depth as anyone. Pete Bursich can play in a lot of places. When he gets his chance, he plays extremely well. I like his game.
Providence Catholic Hall of Famer.
Defensively for Notre Dame. And we'll look at their base set of Knight, Young, Flanagan, Hamilton. Bursich. Yes. Takes the rumble and throws to the tight end. Morris intercepted. It's no good for a touchdown.
Vikings radio analyst.
Nice pocket, Sam, bouncing around, looking, holding the ball, and getting destroyed again.
Just throw it. He had an opportunity, I think, with Jalen Naylor, at least one-on-one. Just throw it deep, because if they intercept it, it's going to be like a good punt. I mean, I don't understand why he just hoisted the red flag and went down. Throw it.
We're back with more of your local Ford dealers football pregame show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day, presented by your local Ford dealer. We've got Patrick Manley here. We've got Olin Krutz. Matt Spiegel is here. I'm Lawrence Holmes, and we got you taken care of for the next half hour talking about the Bears, including Providence Catholic's finest. Pete Bursich joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Pete, thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys?
We are good. We're better now to have you with us and kicking this game around that is just a couple hours away. Pete, I got to tell you, man, you put out a film breakdown of how Ben Johnson has had success against Brian Flores, and we kicked it around in the group thread last week. Just so good. 30 points per game, actually a little more than 30, over the four meetings between Ben Johnson as a coordinator, Brian Flores with the Vikings. What is it that Ben Johnson has done so well that hopefully, no offense, Bears fans will see tonight?
Yeah. Well, it's a couple of things, and that was kind of the whole exercise of what I did was just to say, okay, so what were the Lions doing? And in one way it was hilarious because, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs scored five rushing touchdowns against the Vikings last year, a defense that only gave up 12 total. And so you're like, okay, well, what kind of special sauce are they using to run the football? You watch the film and it's like, no, they're doing it out of I formation and two back formation and just very simple football. So then you ask yourself the question, well, is it the players or is it the coach? Is it the X's and O's or the Jimmys and the Joes? And you start to understand, I think, a little bit more of Ben Johnson and what he's used. I'm not saying that he has to reinvent the wheel here. He's got different talent here than he did in Detroit. But we know that the running game and then the play action game off of it, not the drop back passing game, but the play action passing game was really the thorn in the side. That's how, you know, Ben Johnson preferred to move the football against the Minnesota Vikings defense and against Brian Flores. You can keep extra tight ends in the block in case you're not really picking up the blitz. You don't see a ton of success just in the plain old drop back passing game. So what does that mean for tonight? Well, you're going to see a lot of Colson Loveland. You're going to see a lot of Cole Kmet. And I think you're not going to see a lot of spread them out, just kind of drop back and throw the football unless the ball gets out quickly. So, I mean, that's the fun part of this game for me, is just to watch these guys go about what they do and watch them grow. And then, you know, see Ben Johnson come to Chicago. He's got an unbelievable talent in Caleb Williams. And, you know, what's he going to do? Because in this league, because of salary cap, coaching matters. it really, really matters. Decisions on who you put on the field, yeah, they matter, but coaching matters a ton as well. And I think you've got two of the finer coaches in the NFL facing off tonight, so I expect it to be a great game. And I, you know, the NFC North, I think, is going to be as good a division as there is in football this year.
Pete Olenkreutz here, man. Got a chance to coach at Providence Catholic last year, helping my teammate Jason McKee out at Carmel against Tyler Plants and his team out there. And they're keeping you proud, man. They play good, tough football, and their culture is alive and well.
Yeah, it was when I showed up there in 86, they hadn't even, or 80, yeah, 86, they hadn't won a playoff game. And so, you know, it was a good time. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to me a little bit about, you talked about, you know, the Gibbs's five rushing touchdowns. Talk to me about what you've seen out of Jonathan Allen and Hargrave up there in Minnesota and what you think they're going to bring to Flores' defense now that they gave those two guys that money and put them in the middle of that defense.
Now, and I'll answer this the way I see it. And this is not, I just think that Javon Hargrave is going to have a much bigger impact just because.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Because I think he's the size and type of player for Brian Flores. I watched him the four games or three and a half games that he played last year before he tore his triceps. He was on an all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber season. He's as a player, as a D lineman, I love Javon Hargrave. Jonathan Allen is also a very, very good football player. But I'm more anxious to see Javon Hargrave and what he's able to do. Now, you bring up a good point. The thing you got to understand with Flores is he wants to get a certain amount of pressure on a quarterback, okay? And we were second fastest to the quarterback last year, I think by a hundredth of a second on average, putting pressure on the quarterback. Brian Flores will blitz as much as he has to maintain that level of pressure on a quarterback. So if the four guys up front, right? If the four guys up front, Jonathan Grenard, Jonathan Allen, Javon Hargrave, Andrew Van Ginkle, if those guys rushing four can produce pressure on the quarterback, you won't see the 40 or 41% blitz rate that you saw out of Flores last year. If that pressure number isn't where he wants it to be, then he will absolutely dial it up and start blitzing people. So I think that's really the key. How much can Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen bring in beating their guy that's in front of them and putting pressure on the quarterback?
Hey, Pete, another storyline is the two quarterbacks. Tell me about J.J. McCarthy. What are your expectations and what's your confidence level in this second-year quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough thing to measure just because you haven't seen him go out there yet. I think that year that he had last year is important, even though he didn't play. The question is what's better, to have that year to kind of learn or to get out there and get the real experience? And I think for Caleb Williams, the big question is being sacked 68 times last year, are there any lingering effects to that, right? Is he going to allow his progressions and things to get disrupted if he starts seeing people in his face? And that's a distinct possibility. That's what I'm looking for. But for McCarthy, you can keep him on the move. You can cut the field in half. You can dash. You can bootleg. You can do some of those things early. I think with Jordan Mason, who I think is going to – you're going to see a lot of him tonight, in that the running game and a good defense is the best thing for a young quarterback. So look for the Vikings to lean on that. Kevin O'Connell does not want to run the football. Trust me, he wants to throw the damn thing. He wants to throw it up and down the field. And I guarantee you he's chopping at the bit to where he feels comfortable enough with J.J. Because the first time you guys line up at single high safety, he's going to want to throw it deep. He's going to be like, we're throwing it to J.J. We're throwing it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that the test of patience that's going to play out tonight is fascinating as well.
Local legend and Vikings radio broadcaster Pete Bursich joining us here on our Local Ford Dealers pregame show.
So, are there Vikings fans and or Pete Bursich who kind of wishes the Vikings held out and got Aaron Rodgers? He looked pretty good yesterday, Pete.
No, not at all.
Okay.
You know, but here's the thing, and here it's not, you know, I hate the Packers as much as anybody on this planet. Let me check that and say, I don't mind. I mean, Wisconsin, I get it. You're a Packers fan. It's just all the ones that went to college, got a job, and then moved to Minneapolis, and they brought their flags with them. It's like, dude, leave it at home. We saw Aaron Rodgers in Europe last year, and the pressure we were able to put on him, yesterday had a good day. The question is can he sustain it? You know, I know he and Kevin O'Connell have a good relationship, but we all knew that J.J. McCarthy was the future of this team when they drafted him. And when he got hurt last year, you still knew, come 2025, this is J.J. McCarthy's team. And can Aaron Rodgers come in, and would he be that guy to help J.J. become the best version of J.J. that he could possibly be? I don't think so, right? I just didn't see that fit. So my heart was telling me, hell no, we already had one Packer quarterback, and that worked out okay. But I don't want to do that experiment again. It would happen with Favre, and I'm fine with that, but not Rodgers. No, thank you. No offense, but this is how I feel.
No, it's good.
No offense taken.
Nope.
Pete, the offensive line up there in Minnesota, man, they revamped them. They look like a good unit to me with Will Fries, Donovan Jackson, Ryan Kelly, Brian O'Neill, and Christian Darrisaw. What have you seen out of them, that group, and how will they help J.J. McCarthy have a good year?
Yeah, they're going to be essential, and I think that kind of starts at Ryan Kelly with the cadence and with everything else. You know, Ryan Kelly's been around a long time. He's going to be as good as his health allows him to be. Will Fries is I like Will Fries because he's a little bit of nasty to him. You guys saw that last year with he and Montez Sweat against the Colts. If you haven't seen it, go look it up because he got to block him a couple times on goal line when Sweat moved into three technique and he blocked him all the way to the back of the end zone. And for me, that's the kind of attitude you got to have with this offensive line. And hopefully it rubs off on Brian O'Neill. Brian O'Neill is an unbelievably talented right tackle, but a little grittiness will help him out a ton. Donovan Jackson, you know, we have a rookie starting at left guard. You talk about a big question mark, but no one's really bringing it up. This is Donovan Jackson's first NFL football game, so who knows what you're going to get out of him. But in the preseason, he's played well. He's big. He's athletic. You just got to, you know, learn the system and learn the game. And then whether or not Christian Darrisaw, you know, the final decision on him coming off of an ACL, they're gonna make sure that he's ready to go when he does come back, that there won't be a lot of in and out early on. They want to make sure he's 100% ready. So don't be surprised if Justin School gets in there a little bit or even starts this game. We don't know. I don't know. So your guess is as good as mine who our left tackle is going to be. Hopefully it is going to be Christian Darrisaw.
Pete, when you look at this Bears team, I think, you know, it's week one and we're all uncertain. But when you look at the Bears team, their roster and the preseason, what scares you about the Bears versus the Vikings?
Just the tools that you have on offense. You guys have so much talent on offense. And, you know, you look at DJ Moore, who, I mean, he could be a running back. He could be a wide receiver. He can do all these things. I just think knowing Ben Johnson, he's going to want to put DJ Moore in places to succeed. So you're going to see a lot of him. And then Rome Odunze, who's one of the best in the league at contested catches, right? And then the tight ends, Cole Kmet and Colson Loveland. I mean, they're walking mismatches, especially Loveland. You walk him out in the slot, and he's going to be 7 inches taller than any nickel that you put out there. So those, you know, those are, you know, that and which version of DeAndre Swift are you going to get, right? Are you going to get the one from a couple of years ago? Or are you going to get the one from last year? Those are all big question marks. My big question for if I'm a Bears fan is how much pressure can our defensive front, without blitzing, put on a young J.J. McCarthy, right? I mean, Montez Sweat led the defense with 5.5 sacks last year. So can you start creating those numbers and get pressure on the quarterback without having to blitz? Because if you do blitz, then you got to worry about Justin Jefferson. and you got to account for him. And when you're blitzing somebody, you're losing somebody on the coverage side. And now, you know, that's a pretty big gamble. And, you know, Jefferson's played the Bears eight times, four of which were for 100-plus yards receiving. So he's played well against Chicago. And he has played well in Soldier Field. So we'll see.
Pete, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great call tonight.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you very much. And love being on with you guys. I really do. It's an honor. Thank you.
You're the best, Pete. Thanks, buddy.
It's an honor for us, too.
Hey, man, Pete was good. Yes. Really good.
As a player?
Well, that too. I don't know. I've never seen him play. I'm sure, though. I'm sure he was tough. I know where he's from. But I'll tell you, that was good stuff right there. Yeah.
So I texted my teammate and my roommate from college, and he went to Providence. He was at Providence the same time that Pete was there. And I told him that Pete was being on the show. And I said, oh, your guy's on the show. And he goes, that guy was our generation's Brock Lesnar, a freak of nature at Providence Catholic. Shout out to my guy, Matt Laz, for that. And yeah, then they went on a run of winning state championships. And anyone in the South suburbs around that time will tell you that Providence was a problem. And they just kept rolling through people year after year after year after Pete got there.
Coach Tyler Clancy is bringing them back. I'm telling you, he's doing a great job up there.
I'm not surprised. I mean, they have a real tradition and heritage of being a great football program. And the Catholic League here, like all these schools, like they want to compete hard and they take it very, very seriously.
Yeah, you got to bring it. You got to bring in a Catholic League, and there's a lot of good football players and a lot of good coaches. There's a lot of good people in Illinois who know their football now, like you know, when you're on Twitter and on the radio. There's a lot of people who love this sport, and they work at it.
Hey, guys, people have been dying to hear you all day, and they're texting in as well. Before we get to your picks for this game, there are some pictures getting tweeted with this field at Soldier Field. You guys know the water tables are awfully high.
Surprise.
You know, it's like five concerts they had in August, and then they've had to resod and roll it out. There's parts of it that has, like, sand on it, and they've had to patch parts of it.
And they'll paint it. They'll do whatever they have to do to try to make it look good. Like I know for a fact that these two guys have played on a painted field. I have seen it. I have walked on it. Because back then, when I was covering the team speaks, they used to let us get down on the field and before the game and during the last 5 minutes of the game. And my goodness, like the work that Kenny Marock has to do. This is why they're leaving. Like people don't want to talk about it.
I got stingers from it. Stingers and hurt my head landing on it. But to me, the interesting thing about this, guys, and Pat, I want to ask you this because you said Ben Johnson, he's plus 3 points as a coordinator. We all know that, right? We watch his film. We know that. He is in the management business now. This is also his responsibility. The field. Like he's finding that out today.
Yeah.
Like he got there and he was like, you can't tell me my field is not ready to go.
Yep.
Right? So as a head coach, that's the thing, right? Is Sean McVay, is he a Sean McVay, you know, Kevin O'Connell, Kyle Shanahan, all these young OCs, we know they can call plays. Can you manage the football team, right? Can you do the nutrition, the workouts, the field, the bus, the hotel? There's a lot going on for a head coach, man. And here's something that popped up, Pat, out of nowhere on his radar.
That's a great point, man. You got to be able to run the building. And it makes me think about that family fest when Lovey put us back on the buses. We know there's a high school with lights down there in Bourbonnais they can go play tonight if they need to. We had to bus up. We had a family fest we were supposed to play. They'd resod the field. It was so bad. Lovey's like, we're not practicing on there. Get on the buses. We're going back to Bourbonnais. And we found a local high school and practiced under the lights. So maybe we can have the Vikings versus the Bears down there.
So Ben can make that call, to your point. He can't do it on a game day.
Well,
right?
Not only on Monday Night Football,
on
man.
Philly,
that's a lot
Philly,
of
they
money
did that years ago.
He's talking about.
And Philly did that years ago, the old stadium.
And Eberflus, last year, or when he first got here,
this has been planned for quite some time. We feel it's going to be a nice surface. You know, we think it's going to be a fast surface.
Oh, this is still Eberflus' fault.
To help us out.
Just ask the players in the locker room. Yep. They'll tell you.
Yep.
He's the one that changed the grass, and they did a really nice job with it, I thought. But it's one of those weird things. I think there were three concerts in 4 days last week over at Soldier Field.
It's a great question. Like, you know, when there's a coaching changeover, does it go back to being in control of the park district and whoever is controlling it there. Are they just bad at unrolling sod? What is this?
I don't know.
Would they deal with this at Arlington Heights?
No. Olin, I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons why them having domain is an issue.
Like, let me ask you guys this question. Bears, Illinois, move out of Chicago. Do the NFL put another team in Illinois?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
New York has two. L.A. has two. You're telling me Illinois can't have two teams?
It can, but the way that it shakes down is the rights, because they haven't moved. They're only moved, 25 miles away from the city.
They're still in Cook County. Still in Cook County, though.
Could handle it.
I'm convinced that they could handle it, too. It's just that with some of the ways that works from a voting standpoint, George will have enough juice to block a second team being in the city.
But then fan-wise, over 100 years of tradition, I mean, this is a Bears town, right? How many people would go to another team's game?
You put a football team out there, Pat.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
Huh. Well, Soldier Field will be available.
Yes, it will.
Oh, goodness.
It's pretty crazy, though, like when you think about it. Like, oh, okay, so I'm trying to get the rundown of it. So here's what it is. You had Oasis there last week, right? Mm-hmm. Then My Chemical Romance, then the Lumineers, then System of the Down and Avenged Sevenfold, and that's all in the last week.
Man,
but you know this needs to be done. How can you not get it done right? They've done it before. We've seen it before when they've had this happen. They've come out and
I gotta get my 5/8 cleats, Pat. Get them.
That's right. Call team in. Call team in.
Get my 5/8, man.
Well, that's the thing.
My cleats in.
Oh, you said
I got Hargrave. You heard Pete, man.
Yep.
We're ready to go.
Dig in.
What lit you up about Pete? What got you going? The way that he was talking about that D line, about Hargrave and them.
No, I just amount of information he gave us, right? Yeah. The stats he had, that guy came on and he was prepared to talk Bears, Vikings. That's what I liked about him, right? And obviously he knew everything about the D-line, the O-line. He got good points. 12, you know, they gave 12 touchdowns. Gibbs had 5 of them. That's what I thought when I watched the Lions film. I was like, they could not contain Gibbs.
Yeah. I mean, and Gibbs is special. Yeah, Gibbs is special, and I don't know. I mean, I got a lot of hope for DeAndre Swift because of the way that he gets to work with Eric Bieniemy and Ben Johnson. But Eric Bieniemy, just like, he's going to drive that guy hard and has said he's going to drive him hard. So I hope that means DeAndre Swift heavily motivated to do what he needs to do and follow his block.
I'm more excited about the run scheme as being something that's helpful for DeAndre Swift than necessarily the position coach. I think the position coach has value, but I think that if they're running some of this wide zone stuff or, you know, the outside zone stuff, I think that it's a fit for Swift. And I like the guys. And Olin, you were talking about it earlier. Like, the guys that they have, that they've brought in on the offensive line, and the fact that Braxton Jones as a run blocker is really, really good. I think there's an opportunity there for DeAndre Swift to do some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. But has he ever done it for 17 weeks is the thing we're watching, right?
Yeah.
Even Manon Guy. And an interesting thing about when you talk about the run game and Ben Johnson's run game. There's a guy in Detroit. He goes by name. He's the offensive line coach. His name is Hank Fraley. He's the offensive line run game coordinator. And he was there last year, right? So they got Dan Roshar this year, the new Bears offensive line coach. And a lot of those, and Dan Campbell is also a run game guy, right? So a lot of those schemes you saw for the Lions also came from those two guys. So we're about to see what is Dan Roshar and Ben Johnson's run game. Like, it's not true that what you saw on film last year for the Lions was all Ben Johnson's run game, right? Dan Campbell, Hank Fraley, Pat Manley knows this, the O-line coach, the running back coach, the Scotty Montgomery, right? Mm-hmm. Assistant head coach, wide receivers. These guys all put in. They all put in on the run game. So it'll be interesting when you watch Ben Johnson, how they grow, how they develop this run game and what the Bears' run game turns into.
I also want to know, what is Ben Johnson's belief in DeAndre Swift? He let him walk from Detroit.
Did.
I mean, what's the true reason why he let him go to Philly? We don't know, right? He's never really answered that. So how long is the leash with DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, I think this is a marriage of convenience. And that's clear. It's funny. Like, here we are, you know, just less than 2 hours before the game. But all the stuff from this offseason and how it's all come together is all kind of flooding back to you now. As like you think about Ben Johnson loves to play two tight ends more than just about anybody. Dennis Allen is a late convert to using the nickel as much as the rest of the league has. But he's excited about Kyler Gordon. Remember, that was the first name that he brought up at his opening press conference. And yes, DeAndre Swift is here, Pat, I think, because he's under contract. And you can't fix everything. You can't fix everything in one offseason.
And we saw what he did in Philly behind a good offensive line. So hopefully this offensive line can produce. And he's a good running back, right? But he wasn't, you know, last year with the Bears. He wasn't great. But hopefully he is good. The other thing, too, guys, is I want to see Montez Sweat. We were talking about not being a premier, Joe Buck talking about not being a premier pass rusher. I want to see what Dennis Allen does with him. Where does he move him in third down? Where does he move him in nickel defense? Does he line him up on the left side, right side? You know, with the old Eberflus scheme, he was normally on the same side all the time, but will he put him down on a three technique? Will he put him on a mismatch? Will he put him on the rookie right guard or left guard for the Minnesota Vikings? I'm interested to see what Dennis Allen does with this defense.
Yep. Yeah, and two things I'm interested to see tonight, guys, is first of all with TJ Edwards out, who I have a lot of respect for as a football player, obviously, is Hippolyte playing for him, right? Yep. And how does Jervon Dexter hold up? Because I'm at the point now where I'm really watching Dexter, and should Andrew Billings be the starting nose guard with Dexter moving out to DN on first and second and third downs, right? It's just something that I've been watching and thinking about. And then we talk about the running backs and running the ball. I think about protection against Ivan Pace Jr. there at linebacker when Flores decides to bring him in blitz. And we'll see how Monongai holds up there, and so does Swift, right? I think in a game last year, I think he had a holding call on the first play of the game against Ivan Pace Jr. before he got hurt. So those are two things that when you watch this game, you're just very interested to see how this team develops and they come into like competing against this Minnesota Vikings football team.
What are the things that you're not seeing enough of from Dexter?
He's just I just don't think he's really good at getting his pads low, holding the point and stopping the run. Right. I really think that, you know, that when they play against teams that commit to running the ball and you go against guys like you're going to see tonight and Ryan Kelly and Will Fries and Donovan Jackson on the inside. Right. And you got Jones. They got a couple good running backs there for the Vikings and Jones and Jordan Mason. And I just think that as the game goes on, he gets a little high with his pads and he doesn't hold the point. And you worry about that with a young, smaller linebacker.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. I wonder what Dennis Allen likes about him, if he thinks, like, to your point that you were making, though, about this rookie left guard, this Donovan Jackson, you know, if you want to try and get some pass rush by lining somebody up on him, whether that is Montez Sweat, or maybe Dexter can get you some pass rush over there.
Grady Jarrett.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Grady Jarrett.
I'm excited to see him.
A young left guard with crowd noise and silent count and run games, Pat, there. Run a tackle and stun, an end tackle stun, and put them under pressure, especially if Darisaw is not playing like Pete talked about.
Yeah, that's big. I'm really – Grady Jarrett, I want to see. I've always liked watching him with the Falcons before. I always liked his motor. We'll see what he's got. You know, coming off the ACL, he played all the games last year, but – also, I think, Olin, we talked about it. You hit it a little bit as being a tough team. With Joe Tooney and Grady Jarrett there, obviously captains now, whatever that means. But you have two guys in there that have had a long, nice career that have been physical their entire career that I think are going to bring something different to this team in this locker room.
She's just another interesting storyline to watch, right? It's just the way this team develops into I think I was telling Lawrence and Speaks last week, I'm just really interested that they hired the smartest coach, right? The best play caller in the NFL as the head coach. They drafted a pass catching tight end. They drafted a slot wide receiver. And then they started telling me in the offseason how tough they were. Right? It's just interesting to watch. Like, it seems to me when you build your team like that, you're going to out scheme guys, right? You're going to beat them with scheme and going on the field and matching and getting different matchups and just winning by spreading the field. And, you know, you heard Pete talk about Loveland in the slot versus slot DB is a mismatch, right? I just interested to hear the Bears talk a lot about this year about tough, and, you know, they had one tough practice and they had 3 days off. And I thought the Chicago Bears media was like state media with everyone telling me how tough the practice was. But It's interesting. We'll get to this first game, man, and all these things are interesting to watch.
Couple notes on Caleb Williams. According to ESPN, he will not wear a play-calling wristband tonight, so that is something to watch. He also walked in wearing a Brian Urlacher jersey. It is time for us to get some...
No 57 available, I guess, huh, Caleb?
We got to send him a 57.
Bears don't stock that one anymore.
With Thayer on the back. Oh.
So let's get some picks before we get out of here. Speaks?
Yeah, I got the Bears winning this one 27-20. And I think Ben Johnson's going to have a really simplified but intuitive game plan to work
Speaks,
Caleb.
I want you to pull back your guess here on it, because our guy Jordan Schultz says that Jalen Johnson will not play tonight. Calf and groin. Does that change your view on it?
No, I'm still going there. Nashawn Wright knows Justin Jefferson well.
Patrick?
I've got Kool-Aid right here in my Hydro Flask. Actually, I didn't know it was in here. So I got the Bears winning 24-17.
Olin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think... I'm thinking Dennis Allen is going to get after this young quarterback. He's going to struggle on the road. Where he's from, a little overexcited. They'll confuse him. I'll take the Bears 21-17.
How about that?
Thanks to Four Season Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric for your football game day, which is presented by your local Ford dealers. For Alex, for Tanny, for Patrick, for O, for Spiegs, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much. We've got you covered. These guys are going to be on the air after the game goes final, so make sure that you are here with them. Have a wonderful rest of your night, and let's hope that things go well. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.